We are looking at the story of the people of Israel going from Egypt to the Promised Land. It's kind of our New Year series in 2019, but what we're doing that's different is we're beginning at the end, where Joshua was now the leader. Moses had died, and God spoke to Joshua. Now it is your turn to get ready. And we began at the end, where God is leading Joshua and the people into the Promised Land, and we're working backwards. And we've titled this series, Doomed to Repeat, because as we look back, as you look at the progression of the people of Israel from Egypt into the Promised Land, you see them repeat their shortcomings, their sins, their complaining, their grumbling. And we can look at these areas and some of these insights and how God remained faithful to them in the midst of their grumbling. How many of you this morning, show of hands, feel blessed? How many of you feel blessed? How many of you are blessed to be here this morning? How many of you blessed your breakfast this morning? How many of you know what the word blessed means? It's my argument, the reason I ask all these questions about blessed is I believe that we've come to use this B word, blessed, almost in the same way that we've used the L word, love. And that I mean we overuse it. We use love for everything. I love the Buckeyes. I love my spouse. I love the little puppy kisses that my puppy gives me, even though it's a non-existent puppy. So that kind of leads you to questions. I love pizza. I love snow being cleared from the road, right? So we have all of these uses for the word love, and the same thing I would say is for the word blessed. I'm blessed to live in this country. I'm blessed to have grandparents. I'm blessed that I can cheer for the Buckeyes and not Michigan. I'm blessed that I can eat pizza and not get heartburn. So we overuse the word blessed, and I wonder if we overuse it because for many people, we don't really know what that word means. We hear it, our pastor uses it, our church people use it, our grandparents use it, so it must be a good word. So, with that in mind, if you've ever stayed up late, you know, we've got this late nighter coming up with our youth group. If you've ever stayed up late, you've noticed infomercials that promise you certain products or gifts. And so, I found one that has to do with blessing. So can we show that late-night infomercial?
Hold it right there. Do you still say grace before you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? If you answered yes, then I've got a product that's going to revolutionize the way you do food.
Pre-blessed food.
That's right, pre-blessed food. We pray for it so you don't have to. This is the 21st century, folks. We can sell anything. Around the clock, we've got thousands of employees buying brand name foods, praying over them, and then putting them back on the shelves of your local grocery store with our official sticker of approval. We've got breakfast cereal.
Pre-blessed.
Lunch meat.
Pre-blessed.
TV dinners.
Double pre-blessed.
And if you don't want a white guy praying over your food, we've got that too.
Please, Lord, bless these eggs, Father. Bless the chicken that had these eggs, Father.
Just listen to how pre-blessed food changed these people's lives.
Since I switched to pre-blessed food, ain't nothing changed.
We've always prayed religiously before eating, but we've been so busy with work and watching TV. Pre-blessed food hasn't only saved us time, it's saved our souls.
But that's not all. No, 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 that's not all. Inside every package of pre-blessed food are two tickets to heaven. Share them with your friends and family to make sure they go upstairs when they fall downstairs. So visit your local grocery store today and look for our official sticker of approval. And the next time someone asks you to bless the food, you say, it's unbeen blessed.
Double pre-blessed.
Do we have any takers for pre-blessed food? So what does that mean when you say the blessing? I mean, in our house now, Garrett has gotten so used to saying the blessing or praying over the food that Alita and I don't even get to sit down at the table before he starts to pray. He's like, I have to pray before I can eat, so let's just get this show on the road. We've got to bless the food. So this might be good for him. Garrett, you can eat it. It's been pre-blessed. It's fine. What does it mean? Blessed, blessing. Do you wonder, if we've gotten to the point like love, where love just kind of means another way of saying like or enjoy, do we kind of think of blessing or blessed as lucky? You know, I'm blessed to be in this country. Do we really mean I'm lucky to live in this country? I'm blessed to have these kids. I'm actually, it's not, maybe not blessed, but you feel lucky. Is that what we mean when we say the word blessed or blessing? Does it mean simply living the good life? My life is good. I'm blessed. So what's the definition of the good life? And so what we're going to do today, looking at the story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt, their journey through the desert to the promised land, going backwards, we are going to look specifically today of God through Moses proclaiming blessing to them. One of the things that we do here on Sunday mornings before our kids are dismissed to go to Little Gilead, we do this very practical thing where we are told to lay our hands on our kids so that we can pray a blessing over them. And it's not just a ritual. It's not some empty rhetoric that we do. We do it because we believe in God blessing the next generation. So what does that mean, that God would bless the next generation? It doesn't mean that God's going to make them lucky or that they're going to have the good life. Just to recap where we've been, last week we read about God instructing the people to get ready for the next leg of their journey going into the promised land. And we took that, those two words, God speaking to Joshua, and as God said, these people, get ready. We took that to heart for us. Get ready for the year 2019 and all of the situations and the opportunities and obstacles that are going to come. We looked at three different ways that God shared to Joshua how he and the people could be ready, and we shared that and applied it into our own time, that we believe in the promises of God. Every time when you looked in Joshua chapter 1, after God said, get ready, he told Joshua, be strong and courageous, because things that are going to happen will be scary, you'll go through uncertain times. Be strong and courageous. I am sending you into the land of that I promised or that I covenanted with your ancestors. In other words, God keeps his promises. So the way that Joshua and his people could get ready for this next leg of their journey was to believe in the promises of God, that he remains faithful to his word. He also said to be strong and courageous, that they would keep the law on their lips. And we looked at that. It wasn't simply just mindless repetition of the words, but that they would read the law of God, that they would apply it to their lives. And for us, we took that to heart specifically where Jesus took the entirety of the law and the prophets, the entirety of how God instructed the people to live. And he gave what I would call the inaugural address of the kingdom of God, what it looks like when God is in control. Or we could even make it more contemporary, when God is the president of the universe, as this inaugural address. And we find that passage, we find Jesus breaking that down in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I threw out that challenge for any of you who had these New Year's resolutions to read through the Bible, to scrap that resolution and resolve to read Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7, and just read those repeatedly over and over throughout the year. And I'm envisioning helping us do that in our weekly communications through email and Facebook, that we would keep these words in front of us to the point where you get, I don't want to say you get sick of it, but you just come to, they're so familiar to you that as you read it and then as life happens, you can then apply these words and live them out. That is what God was saying to Joshua and the people when he says, have the word, the law of God on your lips, that it was a part of you in the depths of your bones. And then we saw that God said to Joshua and the people, be strong and courageous. I will be with you. Do not despair. Do not be afraid. In other words, rely on the presence of God. You believe in his promises. You apply and read the word, so that's a part of who you are. And then third, you can be ready by relying on the presence of God. So this morning, we're going to go back through the story. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is Moses' farewell address, the entire book of Deuteronomy, written by Moses. And it's at the end of his leadership. Think of it as a king or a leader, a CEO, stepping down. You know, we're into retirement. And for Moses, it was the ultimate retirement because he dies. And so he's writing this letter, this book to the people. It's kind of like a recap. Hey, this is where we've been. And for the people reading it and who would read it in the years to come, they had no idea what Egypt was like. They weren't aware of the wandering in the wilderness because an entire generation had to pass on before they could go into the promised land. So part of Deuteronomy is Moses recapping, giving them a reminder or refresher course. This is where we've been. This is who we are. But then it's also his word, his farewell, as kind of a, now here's what's going to happen. Here's what you can be ready for. Kind of like a leader passing on wisdom and saying, stay true, stay strong in this. They had the law of Moses that he had received from God. They had been instructed to follow that, to learn it, to apply it into their hearts, their minds, to have it on their lips. And so Moses gives them a proper send-off, words of encouragement, and also words of warning. And so we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 20. And because it's 20 verses, I'm going to actually have you stay seated so you don't have to stress about your knees. Just relax as we read. And the text isn't going to be on the screen because it's so many words. So if you don't have a Bible, if you don't know where Deuteronomy is, just listen to the words of Moses as he gives this farewell address. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning verse 1 all the way through verse 20. Moses writes, "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day, I call the heavens and the earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's pray. Father, as we go through this passage of Moses' farewell address to the people, as we understand and explore what was happening then for them, Father, may we take your words, may your Spirit bring an application for us today as we are in the midst of the beginning of 2019. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So some pretty sober words from Moses to the people. Everyone enjoys hearing words of blessings and life and positive, but then there's also the if you don't, and it's kind of a, well, that's uncomfortable, and we hope that doesn't happen. And yet, in hindsight, you realize that what Moses warned of did in fact come to pass. They did turn away from only worshiping their God. They might have maintained their God who rescued them as a God, but they were enticed by the other deities and worship practices of the land of the people that they went into, and they did lose possession of this promised land. So Moses is speaking of God wanting to bless the people with prosperity. We would call it abundant life. So what we could define being blessed as we read these words of Moses speaking to these people of Israel, we could define being blessed as fully satisfied. In other words, receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances. And part of this was due to the choices that the people made. As we read this chapter, these first 20 verses of Deuteronomy 30, Moses essentially lays out their choice. They have two choices for them. If you were to read a couple of chapters before chapter 30, you would read of Moses describing to the people what would happen if they reverted to their old ways. What would happen if they, in fact, did adopt practices of the people groups that they were going to come in contact with? If they decided to follow other idols and worship other deities, Moses essentially spells out to them what's going to happen, what would happen. And it's not pretty. It's not an exciting, you wouldn't receive and say, oh, Moses, thank you so much. It's kind of a downer. It's kind of depressing. And so part of chapter 30 then is more of an encouragement from Moses saying, now that you are aware of this, choose life. And he uses big and inflated words like, hey, you are going to prosper more than your ancestors. Your livestock even are going to flourish. The mentality or the mindset of wonderfulness and being fully satisfied was a woman's womb and her ability to have children. That was the mindset of, oh, God is blessing you with children. And so Moses is just pouring it on him. He's kind of like pouring sugar onto sugar-filled cereal. He's like, it would be so much better for you to choose God's way. Moses, it's like if we say this to our kids, now, you're going to take an exam, and if you cheat on your exam, these are going to be the consequences. However, if you prepare, if you choose to study, if you choose to understand the concepts and the work in which you are going to take this exam, the results are going to be so much better than if you cheated. the choice is yours. Moses is basically telling them, the choice is yours. And so, big point for today, number one, life is full of choices. Would you agree? Life is full of choices. Even those of you who've chosen to follow Jesus, that's not the end of your choices. In fact, that would probably be just the beginning. So what I want to do today is just having reactions from you guys. Just shout it out. What choices did you make this morning? Shout it out. What choices did you make this morning?
Breakfast.
What kind? What you had for breakfast? What else? What else did you choose? To come to church, to get up. How many of you, and I'm guessing by the looks of all of you, how many of you chose to get dressed out of your pajamas, but you had to make the choice of what you were going to wear today? You spent all of those brain cells choosing what you were going to wear. Some of you are lucky, blessed, right? Some of you are lucky in that your spouse chose what you're going to wear, right? Like you're wearing this because that does not match. What else did you choose this morning? Yes, what you had to eat?
When to start the car?
When to start the car because it's cold out. Did anyone, you chose to shovel? Comb your hair. Did any of you choose what kind of an attitude you were going to have today? You chose if you were going to be in a good mood or a bad mood, and as soon as you got in the car, that choice was taken from you and it's the opposite direction. So that's what you chose this morning, just in a few hours. Now, question number two. We would call those minor choices, right? If you're going to eat or not, if you're going to shovel, if you're going to get dressed or not. What are some examples of major choices in life? Just shout them out. Your spouse, that is a huge choice. Or if you want a spouse or not, big choice. What other major life choices are there? If you're going to have kids. Your job. What to cook. Your faith. Big choice. Where to live. Whether you're going to laugh at the boss's jokes or not. Major choice. Moses is writing about the choices for these people. The people of Israel have a major life choice ahead of them. And it's not just a one-time deal. Even in the New Testament, as Paul is writing these young Christians, he's encouraging them, just as God's mercies are new every morning, every day, take up your cross. Surrender your agenda, your will, every day. Make that choice. Moses is writing to these people, you have a major life choice ahead of you from now on. He describes where they came from, what they walked through in those 40 years in the deserts, and he's writing to them in this book of Deuteronomy, what they will encounter moving forward. And it's all about choices. He breaks down this choice to two options. Verse 15, he writes this. He says, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. It's like, wow, Moses, man, it's more complicated than that, right? Every choice that I make is not life and prosperity, death and destruction. That you're a little intense, right? Some of us had the new coffee this morning. It's like, just lay off some of the coffee, the caffeine, Moses. Essentially, there are two options for the people of Israel. The words prosperity and destruction that he uses, the root word for that, essentially boils down to good or evil. Life and prosperity equals good. Death and destruction, obviously, bad. Evil. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, Adam and Eve were given the same choice, good and evil. God created a tree with the knowledge of good and evil, the same two words that Moses uses here. In 2019, that choice remains for us. Good or evil? These are your choices every day, every moment. Now, you could read through the law of Moses. You could read through the book of Leviticus. You could read through the book of Deuteronomy and see that there were more details to living than simply saying good and evil. There's a lot of different rules and regulations and repercussions and rewards for doing certain things. And today, I would argue that we could make a similar valid argument that there are complexities in life, Moses. Right? The choices to be made are a little bit more complex than that. Sometimes they're smaller. In the ancient Jewish mindset, following the law of God, or the word of God, as they called it, they had a name for this, and they called it the Torah. And they believed that following Torah gave life. Following Torah was the way. Following Torah was the truth. Following Torah was the life. The way, the truth, and the life. A disciple of Jesus named John goes on and refers to Jesus, the Word of God, as the way, the truth, and the life. For the mindset of the ancient Jewish person, and in the mind of Christ, as he is presenting the inaugural address of the kingdom of God, a prosperous life, that which Moses is pouring it on thick here, a prosperous life didn't mean exactly what many people today would define prosperity. There used to be a TV show, Robin Lynch, The Homes of the Rich and Famous, with his unique voice. Some of you probably have no idea who Robin, is it Robert? Leach. Unfortunate name. Google it, YouTube it, and he would just show you the houses and the enormity and the extravagance. When we think of prosperity in today's world, that's what we think of. Riches, wealth, accumulation of things. We could even say prosperity equals friends. But in the mindset of the ancient Jewish people, the mind of Christ, when Christ is giving his inaugural address, the idea of prosperity didn't ring with the same bells as ours do. It didn't solely revolve around monetary surplus or even material gain, even though it was part of that understanding. That kind of came in the wake of godly prosperity. For Moses, for Jesus, for the ancient Israelites, when he writes of prosperity, when he writes of gaining more than your ancestors, he's primarily writing about shalom. And that is, again, an ancient Hebrew word that means completeness. It means soundness. It means sincerely well. It means shalom. It's almost like, if you could equate it with a feeling, it's almost like when you eat enough, not too much, but just enough that when you sit back in your chair, you go, ah, completeness, fullness, soundness. This is shalom. There's an over-encompassing peace, wellness. It is all good. Evocation, emotion, mindset. When someone asks you how you're doing, if you're prosperous as an ancient Israelite, you think about it and you can really say, and you can honestly, sincerely say, you know what, I'm really well right now. I'm prosperous. I have shalom. That's prosperity that Moses is writing about to the people. That is the prosperity that Jesus writes about. There's a soundness to your relationship with others. There is a wellness, a completeness to your relationship with God, I'm really well right now. For Christians today, this shalom, this prosperity is possible because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all of these words of the law of God. In verse 11, Moses spells this out. He says, "What I have commanded you today is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach." As if someone could say, "Man, Moses, it's too hard. It's beyond human ability." Moses says, "No, it's actually not. This blessing, this wellness, this shalom is near you," Moses writes. "It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The way in which God would have us live is not beyond us." One of the easiest ways we can find it, we can understand it, and we can explore it and apply it, and you may even get sick of me saying this, is by reading and discussing and digesting Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's my mantra this year. Every time you're going to see me, you're going to say, "Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jinx, you owe me a Coke." Because it is so important. The heartbeat of a follower of Jesus are those words of Christ in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Obeying those instructions, living that lifestyle is possible. It brings blessing. This completeness. It brings prosperity. "Hey, how you doing today?" "You know what? Really, really well." Will you stand with me as we close? Something that I'm wrestling with, that I'm chewing on, these words from Moses, this idea of choose God and choose life, live this way. I'm looking at it, and I'm still chewing on it as far as we shouldn't do this for the rewards, right? We don't live this way because God says he's going to give us this. That's not the right way to live. It'd be like, if you're married or you have a boyfriend or your girlfriend, "I'm going to do this for my spouse or my significant other because I really want them to do this for me, because I know the rewards are going to be great, so I'm going to..." Or think of it like this. You're a kid and you want to stay out super late after your curfew, so you go to your parents and say, "Man, if I just sweeten the deal, oh, Mom, I love you. You're the best dad in the world." You say that because you think, if I act this way, then they're going to give me what I want. Right? Sometimes we in the Christian world can get this mindset about God. Okay, God wants me to live this way. Okay, so I'll do this because I really want the blessing of God. I'm chewing on what that means, that it's not necessarily we don't live for the rewards, but it's in the pursuing, in the seeking the kingdom of God first. And the results then come behind that. We live for that relationship. We live for that glorifying Creator God as the proper way to live, and not, "I'm doing this for the rewards." Let's pray. Father, as we go from this place, as we are looking backward through the story of Israel, going from Egypt through the desert into the Promised Land, these words of Moses, his farewell address, Father, I think of, and I can only imagine, all of the experiences he had with those people. All of the interactions that he had with God as they talked, as he ministered, the decisions that he made. Father, for us in 2019, all of the decisions that are before us, that will be, that will come, the choices that we make. May we be mindful of the words of Moses, good and evil. As followers of Jesus, we have these words in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. God, we thank you for this inaugural address of Jesus. May we take them to heart. May they be on our lips. May they be in the very fabric of our DNA. That we would live, that our children would live, that our church would live and say, we are prosperous. We are blessed. How are we? Really, really well. Guide us and direct us this year, this week. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Thank you for being here. Be safe as you go home. We'll see you next Sunday. On the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone.